not adjust your radio frequency. This is not a test. This is the Artist First Network. Cool.
Every time zone covering both hemispheres. It's time for another version of Authors First on the Artist First Radio Network. Z-Man sitting in on a Tuesday afternoon while company president Tony K is taking a few days off, and we wish him the best of times on your day off. You know, when you take, you only get a few off as they go, so you want to make sure you get the most out of each and every one. As you know, folks, we're one of the largest independent artist networks on the planet. You can listen to any past show you want by visiting our archives and downloading that show for free. If you love us, tell your friends. If you hate us, tell your enemies. But let the world know that the Artist First Radio Network is here. Tonight, we are bringing you a poet. And I should put that in capital letters and underline it. Our guest tonight is going to probably surprise you in a few more other things. Let's get right with it. And I'd like to welcome GPA to the microphones. Hey, GPA, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, brother? How are you?
I'm doing great. And just so that folks don't misconstrue GPA as grade point average, GPA, folks, stands for Greatest Poet Alive. And that's who's, that's who's joining us tonight, man. Where are we reaching you? Where are you in the world? You're in Chicago tonight?
Southside all day. Shout out. Go Bears.
Yeah, go Bears. No, it's the Bears. My family's from Chicago, but back in the 40s.
That's all good.
Yeah, it
that's
is, man. Good. We got some roots there. Now, like we do with most of these broadcasts, we're going to be introducing you to a whole bunch of new listeners, so we're going to start the show off by talking about you as an individual. So, sure. Tell us, GPA, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Chicago, born, raised, lived in Chicago, Southside. Those are where my roots from. I love the Windy City. Been plenty of places. I love to travel, but this is home. Best city in the United States, right here, Chi-Town.
It is a wonderful town. When you were a youngster, you know, when did you realize that poetry and writing was going to become such a large part of your life? Is it something you knew early, like elementary school?
No, actually, I did. I was looking back on that. As Father's Day approaches, shout out to my dad, James Livingston. My dad always told me to write down stuff. So I used to write, like, I want to be cool. I want to dip in the pool. I don't want to be a fool. Sometimes I don't like going to stuff like that. I was writing all the time and didn't really know that this would, if you had told me this 5 years ago, that I would be an author, I'd be performing in different states and cities, I wouldn't believe you because my mind was somewhere else. So, no, it was just something I was just delving and having fun with. And then as I got to my teen years and even in my collegiate years, I was writing just for women, you know, to let them know, you know, because they didn't see me otherwise as attractive. So I wrote to them and that to get to garner their attention. So, no, not yet, not really. But I think God knew better than me.
Well, so what happened then? You know, if you say like in the last 5 years, you would have thought this to have been an impossibility. So what happened that got you into this and so fast?
To be quite frank with you, and I don't mind doing that, I was incarcerated in federal prison. From 2006 to 2008. And in 2007, as I was getting close to coming home, I looked at the guys around me, some of them who were Wall Street guys, big-time kingpin guys, and they had money and so on and so forth. And I was a college-educated guy who had committed a white-collar crime, but not didn't have a substantial wealth like those individuals. So I said, I need to do something. I don't want to just work out and watch TV and so on and so forth. I need to do something. And in a 30-day span, I wrote my very first book, The Confessional Heart of a Man. I started August 27th and ended September 27th. I set myself a date to completion because they say you're supposed to do that as an author. Set a date of completion. Give yourself a deadline. So I finished. And from there, when I was released, you know, no one traditionally publishes poets unless you have some acclaim or you can prove that you can sell. So I self-published, subsidy published rather, and the rest is pretty much poetic history. I've just been really hard at it. I've been very fortunate and blessed. Great support system of family, friends, buying me to help me. But that's it. That's pretty much the whole kit and caboodle right there. That's when it came. And that's when I sort of realized everything else I've been doing, I've just been meandering. And this is what I'm supposed to do.
So it was at the end of your time. You didn't, you know, a lot of guys, when they go in, they got nothing else to do, so they start writing. And, you know, it seems to dominate their time while they're there, and they can focus on it. And yet you were, it was near the end of your time. Well, that's interesting.
I actually, just a slight correction there. I'm glad you brought that up. Throughout my time there, I was writing poems for other inmates. So, you know, I was just dabbling around, and someone said, hey, what are you doing? Because I worked in the library. I said, I'm writing a poem. They said, really? They said, really? You writing a poem, really? I said, yeah. Well, let me see. And they saw it, and it was like, wow. Would you write a poem for my wife? Would you write a poem for my fiance? Would you write a poem for my daughter? It's her birthday. Would you write a poem for my mom, Mother's Day? And I did that. So people would come to me, hey, I need a poem. My girlfriend is thinking about leaving. I need you to write something for me. I said, okay. And as I was doing that, it came to that month I just described. I said, you know what? I've been doing this writing now. Let me do something for me. Even if it doesn't do really well, which it did, I was fortunate it did really well, or anything like that, let me do something for me to show I did it. I made this concerted effort and focused all this energy, and I did it. So that was the whole story. I should have added that when I was stating in the beginning.
Well, that's cool. I mean, what can you do in that situation? How can you, you know, I'm talking metaphorically or just hypothetically, rather. You know, it's something you can give a fellow inmate that he can give his family that, you know, I mean, it's hard to acquire things and distribute them when you're in the pen. But that's a real gift. I've never thought about that.
Thank you.
You know, we used to host a prison radio show on the station, and I just never realized that what a gift you were able to give folks who otherwise had limited options. And you know, this runs a little counterintuitive that you know, when one thinks about people in a penitentiary, they often think of what they see on TV and these hardcore guys that, you know, would rather stab you than talk to you, and yet here you are, you know, writing poems for them. It seems a little counterintuitive.
That's another great point. And here's something, you're going to laugh at this. Inside, we always say, inside the fence, and then once you're behind the fence, you refer to the outside world as the world because you're not in it. And so going from there and transitioning back into the world, this society that we're in now, you find that the individuals that were behind the fence knew more about respect than the people out here in the world, and we're quote-unquote free. It's amazing that you would see, I mean, you're walking down an aisle and there's only one person could fit, you'll see two guys stepping to the side and somebody say, hey, no, you go ahead. No, you were hit this way first. Thank you. Okay, you're welcome. And go on about your way. So basically, a lot of it was, as we're trying to, he'd done a lot of time, were finished up their time and wanted to go home, wanted to avoid altercations. You just, as long as you weren't disrespected, you didn't disrespect anyone else. So, I mean, that's basically what it was. You wanted to make your time as easy as possible. That only exists when it's a higher level, the supermax is max, and guys aren't going anywhere, and they know they aren't going anywhere, then it gets a little heated. It's somewhat ferocious, but guys were trying to go home, go to minimum security, lower camp, excuse me, we were in minimum security, but like the halfway houses and what have you, they were trying to get there. So the less nonsense you got yourself into, the more likely it was you could expedite your time behind the fence, as it were.
Well, folks, the name of that book he wrote there in about a month is The Confessional Heart of a Man by the Greatest Poet Alive. And that is that still available? Can folks still pick up a copy of that first book?
That book, yes, it is. That book is on Amazon. The reviews are there as well. And you can also go to my website, which has secure PayPal at www.iblowyourmind.com.
And folks, by the way, we have that link provided on the Artist First homepage. If you didn't catch that, it's right there. It'll always be right next to the archive if you're listening to this program as a recording. We try to make it as easy as possible for you to get in contact and support the fine artists you hear on this network. All right, so this you pull off a nice one here. I mean, what a way to get out and you have something going on. By the way, if you would have done this 20 years ago, the chances of you getting published, not taking anything away from the quality of your writing, but because of the rigged system of publishing in America up until about 15, 20 years ago, it was kind of like the old days in the record business. If you didn't impress a record executive, you weren't going to do crap. And the same thing, the literary world was slower to come about, but now there are options that that individuals can take that you don't have to have some big Wall Street or Madison Avenue booking agent or literary agent. You can put out a book now and let the world decide whether it's good, not whether one guy over there thinks it's good.
That's correct. That is correct. And also, and here's an interesting fact along with that. I just want to say you're bringing up some great points. Along with that, there is, in my opinion, and other poets, if you ask them, there is a literary bias towards, I happen to be black, African-American, whatever the denotation, so long as it's not negative, that you might refer to someone in my ethnic group, and I'm a poet, meaning I write, as opposed to a spoken word artist, maybe. And there's a bias towards one, if you aren't, if you're black and you're a poet and not a spoken word artist, because spoken word artists are the dominant genre right now. It's more mainstream, as it were. So it still has that slight bias, along with what you stated about the 30, 40 years ago, too. So you have to, it's fortunate that you can self-publish, because you can make your own way. Now, what works for me is, one, I've been fortunate that I have a great following. Two, it doesn't hurt that I'm pretty good with the pen. And three, a lot of times I can make a combination of performing. Someone will see me perform, and then they will say, oh, wow, okay, he's dynamic performing. The book must be pretty good or can't be that bad either. So let me, and that worked hand in hand. So that all is pretty fortunate.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a perfect time to be in your line of work. Well, clarify something for me for a minute. You were trying to make a distinction that I'm not, I mean, I know what spoken word is. We've had many spoken word artists on, but how do you differentiate yourself from a spoken word artist?
Oh, another great question. Quite simple. And we get asked it myself. I want to shout out my rhyme partner, who's also an outstanding poet, cotton, a soft-spoken poet from Sacramento, California. She answers this question extremely well, and I quote, a poet is in touch with his feelings. He is in touch with God. He's in touch with his family and all the things around him, pastoral or otherwise. And those things transfer from his mind and his heart through his pen upon the paper. Spoken word artists, on the other hand, not to disparage the genre at all, it is more attuned to rhythm, theatrics, the boisterousness of tone, and sometimes the use of language that is quite colorful, which may even border on vulgar or use of expletives a lot. So there's a dramatic difference. And basically, for anyone who's listening, to simplify it even more, poets basically write. We follow forms. You would ask me, hey, can you write a villanelle? I can. Can you write a haiku, a tanka? I can. I understand Shakespeare's rhyming couplets. You know I could write a free-form poem. You'll look at a poem of mine, you'll see the stanzas. So there's a form. Poetry is about forms and putting your feelings and thoughts into these forms and using the literary terms that accompany them, whereas spoken word is a lot of free verse. You'll see someone who recites a poem, it may take them a couple of minutes to recite their poem. Someone who has a spoken word piece, they could be up there 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes.
Right.
And there are a lot of references. And it's a little bit more egocentric than poetry is, just my take and just my experience.
Well, folks, if you're just joining us, we have GPA on, Greatest Poet Alive, and we're about to start talking about his brand-new book, The Mind of a Poetic Unsub. And I had to ask before we came on the air, I asked, man, what's an unsub?
An unsub, I'm a big fan of Criminal Minds, the TV show. And unsub on the Criminal Minds show, and if you Google it, stands for unknown subject or unknown suspect. So what I did was I consider myself some of a contradiction. Greatest Poet Alive, if you Google that or Bing or Yahoo, put that in your search engine, I'll pop up. It's just due diligence or work. That's not to be bragging or anything like that. It's just the work I put, and it's the result of. But at the same time, because I'm a poet, there are people that don't know me. So at the same time that I'm great in doing these things, I'm unknown still to some people. So I put them together, and when it comes together like that as a compound word, poetic unsub, for me it means wherever there's something poetic going on, whether it be a performance, a new book written, a poem in an anthology, an interview, any number of things, which you can see on the search engines if you look me up, I'm there. I'm the unsub. I'm always in the middle of committing some poetry somewhere. So,
I like the way you put that. Committing poetry somewhere. That's
right.
Pretty cool. And for those of you, you can see the book cover by surfing on over to iblowyourmind.com, exactly like it sounds, or use the links on our homepage. And in this book, you tackle many, many different subjects. You kind of go at it, man. I mean, you talk about everything from, well, of course, God to divorce and education, money, marriage, sports, just a range of topics that maybe a poet might not put all into one book, but you did.
I wanted to. Thank you for noticing that. I wanted to, with this book, my two previous books, the first one, The Confessional Heart of a Man, was just what it was. It was like a confession, and it got a lot of things off my chest and off my heart that had been there. So it was therapeutic. Like writing it anyway, but for that was a great purging. The second book I wrote was the Book of 24 Orgasms, and that was for basically women because they needed something, in my opinion, that wasn't vulgar, wasn't pornographic, but at the same time was arousing and sensual. If you look at the reviews, it says it's a thinking man's guide to sensuality because there's another, and not any of my poetry do I use any expletives or vulgar language. I just use a lot of descriptive references, allusions, both to A-L-L and the I-L-L. Just two different things. I just wanted to clarify there. And then finally, which led up to this book, The Mind of a Poetic Unsub, I went through a lot last year in my personal life, and it led to this book, which I believe out of the three books I have, this is the best book I've ever written, and I wanted to give people everything of me. And also I was doing a little bit of showing off. I'm not afraid to say that because a lot of people, and this is what separates me again as a poet from what a spoken word artist might do, hakus, takas, sestinas, villanelles, and then the chapters you've got. And that was a great point. I want to reiterate what you said about everything in a book. There is everything. There's a chapter on the serious and funny. There's a chapter on poetic styles, the ones I just named. There's a love chapter. And I gave you something a little extra in the end of the book, part two of what I call the Lust series. First was the Book of 24 Orgasms. The second part is called The Land of Multiples. It's all the way at the back of the book. So you actually get two books for the price of one. And the second one being the second in a collection that's already started, which is pretty good. So I wanted to pretty much show you and everybody why I feel I'm in the running. If I'm not the best, I believe I'm in the running. And before it's over with, I want to be considered one of the best ever, just on merit, just on the pen alone, not anything else, not who I am, what I look like, just my pen. So that was what this book was about here.
Well, bravo, man. I think anyone listening can understand, you're an intense individual. You've got passion. That's what my lawyer used to tell me. You're an intense, and I sort of see your personality that way. Folks, after the broadcast, there's some great videos on the website, iblowyourmind.com. I'd like to just ask you about one, and it was, I believe it was shot at the Sonoma Cafe, and it was a tribute to your mother. I thought that was outstanding.
That video's up?
I saw it today.
Oh, my God. Oh. I didn't know my daughter. I want to shout out to my daughter, most beautiful young lady. I know she makes it very easy to be her father, and makes it a privilege doing the same thing. She's just dynamic. She's a college student. She's doing very well in school. No problems with her whatsoever, except she wants money to get her hair done most of the time and go to the store and get a iced tea or something. But otherwise, best girl in the world. So she got that video. Young lady, excuse me. She's listening, so I don't want her to think. I think she's still a girl. She'll correct me. Daddy, but best young lady in the world. She probably put that video up. I'm very close to my family. I'm very close to my family, and I kiss my mom's feet because she is the boss of bosses. And
well, would you mind if I played a little bit of that?
No, that's no problem. You can.
Well, set this up. It's going to take a second here, to get it going. And where is the Sonoma Cafe?
The Sonoma Cafe, it used to be. It's no longer. It was on the southwest side of Chicago, 95th and California, across from the hospital. And there were great people that ran, and that was our first, I was in a group, I started a group called the League of Extraordinary Poets. And we were there, and my mom was there, and we were just doing a round robin, and I used to do a lot of freestyling early on before I really got proficient with my performance. So my mom was there, and I just felt it, and because I'm always, she doesn't like that, by the way, shout out to my mom, she's listening too, she doesn't like that, she gets embarrassed easy. So, but I just love my mom. I'm very close to her, so that's all that was.
Well, it's radio there, mother of GPA. We'll just play a few seconds and get you guys a little drift of this. Check this out. I think this will work. Let's try this. Yep. Hey, I got to shut off the theme music first. Here we go. Running two things at once. Check this out. Oop, let me start it at the beginning. And just, folks, this link is there on YouTube. You can check it out yourself.
See, you didn't love a son. You didn't love the son. When I acted wrong, when I've been good, when I've been up, down, broke. Not that broke, but had bread. When I was skinny, muscular, or fat. See, I write these poems now. Best-selling author right now. And I guess that's a pretty good thing, I suppose. But I remember when I was in the third grade, and I lost my gloves. My mama took her gloves off her hands, so her son's hands would have now froze. When I stopped eating pork and beef, guess what? My mama stopped cooking pork and beef. When somebody wanted trouble with us and had beef, guess what? With my mama, they had beef. Mama, listen, I could be married 50, 100, 150 years, but every day that I got you is golden. And I swear to you, I swear to you, as long as I got breath in this body of mine, I swear to you, whatever you need me to do, I am beholden. I get on bended knee to you, and I tear up because I'm emotional, and I wish somebody would, because I stand in front of mama just like a grown son, firstborn, supposed to do. Mama, you're the best.
That's intense, and that's terrific, man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, watch the rest of the video, folks. There's a bunch of them up there. Go to the website. iblowyourmind.com when this program's over. That's intense, man. Nice job.
you should have done. I'm over here. I'm upstairs from everybody else because Scooter the Beagle is running around. That's my buddy. My whole family's downstairs along with Cotton Campbell. She came from out of town, and we've been going. So everybody's downstairs listening. You know, shout out to Mary Rogers. Shout out to my homegirl, my friend. I've been my friend for a decade before I was GPA. I was just Mark. And so they're all listening. But, man, I'm over here just emotional because I was listening. I remember that. I thought you had the other one. Oh, my goodness. I thought you had the other one at the Quaker House where people were crying and everything. They were like, oh, my God. And But that was really something to hear me talk about my mom. My mom's the best. I don't mean to ramble, and I won't, but my mom's the best.
Yeah, you got to.
Couldn't do it without her.
You're exactly right. And very blessed when you have a mother that cares for you out there, and that's a wonderful thing you got there. And isn't it cool? Check this out. We're the first generation, not my age group, but the people that are alive today and have been alive up till maybe the last 10 years ago, with the advent of the internet, like that YouTube video right there that we looked at, there's no real reason to believe that it will ever disappear from the internet. You know, people will take their own copies. Okay, if YouTube blows up tomorrow, yeah, but, a lot of people download their own copies of that stuff. And, like the archives on our radio station, 10 million people a month. Did he say? Yes, 10 million people a month listen to our archives. And they copy those shows down to their computers and their things and everything. So there's probably, bajillions of copies of these things. What am I saying? I'm saying you will never disappear. Your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren will be able to watch the video that we just watched. Now, that's the first time in all recorded history where we're pretty much cataloging entire generations. If you ain't up on the web, then you are just forgotten. There you go. But, isn't that cool? Now, you got a book. You got these things out there. God forbid, if you were to pass away tomorrow, there's still a ton of stuff people could learn and listen to you personally that will live on indefinitely.
Correct. That's just awesome. The search engines, everything. It's really important for artists. I always tell people who ask me things, you should really make sure you have a viral presence because people go by that. I mean, they go and look. They Google you. They Bing you. They Yahoo you. They go to YouTube. I've been asked so many times, do you have any videos on Yahoo when someone wants me to come perform? YouTube. Do you have any videos there? I'm like, yeah, I got a few. I got a couple. See what you might want to work with. But, yeah, that is awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, so and that can also have a downside to some of you some of you youngsters out there that want to post things on the web that people copy that somewhere down the road you're going to wish wasn't up there, they're going to be showing that to your great-grandchildren too. So it's something that can be abused. Hey, if you
it's
guys...
a two-edged sword.
I'm sorry?
I was just saying it's a double-sided sword. It sure is.
It sure is. Folks, if you want to drop us a line on this show or any broadcast, you can hit us up at dj@artistfirst.com and we'll read your comments on air. But right now, you guys are saying, Z-Man, you got a poet on the show and you ain't read no poems yet. Well, that's what we're going to do right now. GPA, ahead of the show, you knew that you were going to be reading some poems tonight. What do you have online for us tonight?
Here's what I'm going to do. You tell me how many in a row I can do. I'm just going to, for those of you listening, I just want you to listen to what I'm about to say. As soon as he gives me the nod to go, I'm just going to go. And I'm going to just show you why I believe what I believe, and I'm going to give you what I got. And I'm pretty sure you like it, but I'm going to turn it up. This is what I do right here. So I'm just going to turn it up a notch.
Well, GPA, the rest of the show is yours. We got the CBS News coming our way in about 24 minutes, and we'll need a few minutes to close the broadcast before that. So you can have the floor for as long as you want it. Just leave us time to run theme music and start the CBS News. Other than that, this platform is yours, bro.
Sounds good. Thank you much. Here we go. He told me I would never be ish. My love was misguided and understood, so I believed it. Made it easier to rationalize and reconcile when I got hit. Pastor preached pathetic prayer for perseverance. After broken ribs, a broken arm, and two black eyes, my ears were no longer hearing it. For if I stayed one moment longer, then dead instead of battered is what I was fearing. See, I understood that times can be difficult in marriage, but we had two children, but it should have been three, yet pregnancy aborted by kicks to the stomach causing a miscarriage. Grabbed the kids' keys to my cars in the bank car with the money I hid in the hidden bank account. Heart beating near out of my chest, racing against his arrival home, detention mounts. Just then, he met me as I was rushing out the door. He said, what do you think you're going to do? Nothing without me, you trifling whore. His fist swung and connected with my jaw. thankfully, that was the last time he would ever put his hands on me. Last of him I ever saw. Shots fired from the distance. His body bloodied by bullets fell with no resistance to the floor. My son had been tired of seeing his mother hurt. So now, there is a dream snatcher no more. My poem. Every day, my mother makes me a lunch of 2 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches cut down the middle, a chocolate chip cookie, an apple or some sort of fruit, and she gives me 25 cents for chocolate milk. I like chocolate milk. See, I'm a 6th grader at Myra Bradwell School, and I don't know what love is, but if it's good, then that's how I feel about chocolate milk, because it's the bestest thing ever. Every day at 12:10 p.m., myself with the other 6th graders, we go downstairs for lunch. And we sit there and we open up our bag lunches and we compare and say who has the better lunch or not. We talk about how the day is going and how we're glad it's almost over with. And we sometimes say, hey, lunch is the best class ever. Well, sometimes it's gym. But just in case the gym teacher has us do too many calisthenics, yeah, like today. Today is lunch. And then it occurs. Not too long after we started eating, he comes. Eric. Eric the bully. Eric's favorite things are whatever our favorite things are. If you have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich cut down the middle, that's his favorite thing. If you have a chocolate chip cookie in your lunch, that's his favorite thing. If you have an apple, banana, strawberries, cherries, you guessed it, that's his favorite thing. But his latest favorite thing for the last week has been coincidentally my favorite thing, chocolate milk. But today, I've decided not to give Eric my chocolate milk. Circle forward, 3:11 p.m. in the afternoon. I am nervous. That is an understatement. I am terrified. I did not give Eric the bully my milk today, and he has sworn that he is going to hurt me. I look over at him at 3:12 p.m., and he has given the universal sign by touching both of his eyes that he is going to hurt me. 3:14 p.m., he gives the universal sign that he's going to hurt me again, but this time I surprise him and myself because I give him the universal sign back to him that I'm going to beat him up. Surprising because Eric has failed the 6th grade twice. He is bigger and stronger than the rest of us 6th graders, and there is no way possibly I can beat him up. 3:14 p.m. and 56 seconds. I will affix my backpack to the both of my shoulders. And I pulled my Cubs hat down on my head. Forgive me, I was a 6th grader. I didn't know any better. 3:14:57, 3:14:58, 3:14:59, and I'm gone. Before the bell can ring, before the teacher can dismiss us, I'm gone. I'm out the door and down the 3 flights of stairs. 1, 2, 3, I'm out of Myra Bradwell School, onto Saginaw, headed towards 79th where our home is, and I have gotten away from the bully. But remember, Eric has failed his 6th grade twice. He is bigger and stronger than the rest of us 6th graders, and he might just be the best athlete in our school. As I have hit the door and touched Saginaw, Eric is right behind me. And in order to shake him, I get to 78th Street, hit a right, hit a left into the alley, hit another left into Miss Johnson's yard, where she has the Doberman pincher. Today, the Doberman pincher is loose. Narrowly, I escape him chopping my left leg off. And I'm thinking to myself as I'm running and hopping over the next fence back onto Saginaw, perhaps Eric will not be that fortunate. Perhaps the Doberman pincher will get a hold of him. But once again, Eric has failed the 6th grade twice. He is bigger and stronger than the rest of us 6th graders, and he might just be the best darn athlete in our school. He easily jumps over the Doberman pincher and seemingly, like the Incredible Hulk, jumps over the fence again, and he is right behind me, racing down Saginaw. As I get in the middle of 78th Street, I can see 79th Street, and my mother, as she always is sitting there waiting for me to come home. And she is waving at the sight of me, and I'm saying to myself, because I'm out of breath somewhat from running, Mother, don't you see this giant 6th grader who's failed the 6th grade twice, who is bigger and stronger than the rest of the 6th graders and might be the best athlete in our school chasing me because I did not give him my chocolate milk, so stop waving and do something. But still, my mother, the beautiful woman that she is, just waves. and just thinks I'm anxious to see her, and that's why I'm running. You gotta love her. As it is in most things in Chicago, the streets are decrepit, so the sidewalks reflect the streets. Coming up, there's a patch of sidewalk that is like a crater, and it has rained for the last 4 days, so it's wet and muddy. In order to spare my school clothes, I hit a left, cut through the grass, and cut around it. Eric perhaps sees it as his chance to catch me, but he stumbles and falls. I know this because I hear the giant thud, and I turn and look back at him. There's always in these situations, there are kids always around when someone's getting chased, beaten up, threatened, or whatever. There's always a pack of them, like hyenas in their lap, and this is like that today. They are laughing at Eric. But as I meet his gaze, as he is rising from the mud, I do not laugh. Because yes, I stood up to him today. Yes, I got to drink my chocolate milk. But this scene will repeat itself. And every day, from now on, I will have to run from the bully. My poem. A man sits in hell, or rather it's a federal institution in Ashland, Kentucky, and he sees the devil. It is the first shift, second shift, third shift guards, the inmates around him, and sometimes his own image when he looks in the mirror. But he doesn't see God, and he knows God is everywhere, so he calls out to him, and this is what he says. I want to be free, oh, free. Because he was locked up. One day he was sick and tired of sharing a television with 100 other men. It's bad enough they eat together, sleep together, shower together, work out together. He asked, when will the madness end? And he's so sick and tired of being sick and tired, he decides to lift weights, walk the track, or maybe he'll just sleep it off. And he's starting to catch the flu. But not because he's displaying any of the symptoms. It's because the man in the top bunk of the next cell, well, he's starting to see and cough. The media has lied to everyone. It's not a country club or resort. It's a federal penitentiary where they have him staying. They have child pornographers, white-collar criminals, and they got brothers from the hood, but for just 3 pieces of crack, they gave them 20 years. So best believe when you're breaking federal laws, they aren't playing. And it costs to be locked up, too. You pay for the phone calls to call home. You pay for the detergent to wash your own clothes. You pay for a radio to listen to the television. Otherwise, you cannot listen to the television. And a whole bunch of other things from the commissary. And birthdays and holidays, they come and they go. And not one of them is happy or merry. And most people ask, does anyone go home? And yes, sure. 5 men leave on a bus Monday morning. And on the same bus, 30 more come back in Monday afternoon. And you best be careful. Carry a pen or a pencil or something sharp with you at night when you go to the bathroom. His brothers in chains have bald heads. Some been there so long they have gray hairs. Some from down south North Carolina, South Carolina, they're dreadlocked up. You got inmates snitching, inmates turning tricks, inmates gambling, inmates stealing food from the kitchen. Oh, yeah, by the way. The hymn and the poem is me. And all I describe to you is just one day of being locked up. I want to be free. My poem. This is for all my ladies out there who might be listening. I know you have concern about our financial situation, but let me put you at ease. Next week, we'll make 5 years at the job I'm currently at, and I'm up for the promotion. And every time they have overtime, I always sign up for it. As you know, also during January to April, I work at Jackson Hewitt doing taxes. And I'm a performing poet, so I go from city to city, state to state, and I get paid to perform, and also I sell my books and my CDs. And I just formed a corporation with my brother, and he's real adept at real estate, finding, rehabbing, flipping, renting out homes and houses and such. And I'm not saying that to brag or boast, flash or flaunt. It's just to let you know that when the bills come in, on time, the bills will get paid. And yes, I drive a broke down car, an oopty. It starts when it's supposed to stop. Stop when it's supposed to start. Lights on when they're supposed to be off. Off when they're supposed to be on. Heat in the summer, cold in the winter. But I'll contribute. And I'll continue to drive that car. And I've saved up, and you'll drive the upgrade. So I go to work these hours and wait for my turn to be promoted. As I travel on this poetic grind to let people know how good I am. As I save up and need a jump for my car from time to time, I ask you, wait for me. See, you must understand, I'm not used to someone like you. When you speak to me, you call me names, baby, honey, sugar, you're a poet. Your voice rarely goes above an octave unless, well, you know those times. And when you put your hands on me, you rub my bald head. You touch my shoulder to get my attention. You place your hand on my cheek to let you know how you're thinking about me. And sometimes, well, not to start something, maybe you place your hand on my leg. You speak so softly. You compliment me often, and you call me handsome, and you say I'm a beautiful man. And I confess, I'm not used to that. And not to make references to my past, but I'm not used to that. When you do things and you see me flinch a little bit, it's not because I don't like it. When you tell me you love me, and it takes me a moment and I say I love you back, it's not because I don't feel it as strongly, if not stronger than you do. It's just that I'm not used to someone like you. So as I wipe away these tears that used to be tattooed on my cheeks, as the lacerations that were in my heart, the stitches come out of them and they start to heal, please, wait for me. I understand I ask a lot from you to wait for me. And I only ask because you're worthy. And I don't say that you're worthy as if I'm some prize and I'm arrogant, egotistical. I say worthy because everything about you is good. You're beautiful. With my glasses on, and especially when I'm off and I see you, you're beautiful. We walk down the street and the men can't even drive their cars correctly because they see you and you're beautiful. Heck, women who normally only give acknowledgement to another woman stop and say, oh, she's beautiful. And you got God all around you. And I'm not talking about the fact that you go to Bible study on Wednesday, early service and the regular service and know a few scriptures. No, I'm talking about everything you say, everything you do, you exude God-like presence, like he has his hands on you. And you root for the Bears. And you know what a touchdown is and a field goal. And I know that's minute, but it's so important to a sports fan. And I know I'm deficient. I know I have things that I can work on. So I ask you to wait so I can get my good to match your good. And then together we can be great. So please, wait for me. My poem. How we looking on time?
We're looking great, man. And we probably got time for one or two more at least. Wow. So I'm into every one of those stories. I'm right there with you. I know that people listening are right there. You are very good at this, TV. You may actually be the greatest poet alive. That is terrific stuff. It's intense. I keep using the word intense. It is in a great way. Wow, the bullying story. Wow. And of course the domestic violence. I mean, you're talking about things that are affecting virtually everybody. We all know somebody that's bullied. We all know somebody who's, you know, slaps his wife around or vice versa. You know, these are things that are alive in our world today, unfortunately. And boy, you address them very, very well. Outstanding, my man. Outstanding. So anyway, I won't ramble on. Let's try and get two more in.
Okay. A beautiful woman is magnificent, similarly to the way I would love her, inside and out. She is centered with the Creator, not necessarily constantly quoting biblical verses, but acting and living according to Him. A beautiful woman is good to others, but herself first and everyone else, because she realizes that the other way around, she would shortchange herself. She is a good mother, whether she has children or not, because it is natural for her to be maternal. She is a dependable sibling and a trustworthy friend. She is intelligent, savvy, or streetwise, and a combination or separate because all of those are useful mental faculties. She is well-read in various genres of literature. A beautiful woman is a listener of music to soothe the anger that arises sometimes, to dance to exercise to, or nod her head in enjoyment. She takes care of her health, whether through diet, exercise, or staying free of unnecessary stress or drama. She is driven to excel in her education and her profession. A beautiful woman takes care of her appearance, which includes nails and clothes done. Smells good no matter what, simple as soap, lotion, or expensive perfume, hair done in whichever style she prefers, and dresses as a lady would, so that the clothes accentuate her. And she speaks in a soft tone, raising her voice only when there is no other recourse, and tolerance has been well surpassed because to contain it, it would harm her. A beautiful woman has these qualities in concert or single aspect. She does her best to always exude them, but remember she is human and not perfect, but close because she is God's gift. Aren't she beautiful, woman? My poem. And then I'll finish out with something a little sensual for everyone. This is bad, so brace yourself. Just emerged from the shower, water dripping ebony. Urged to write something in my rawest form. No glasses, no clothes, no stress. Admiring myself and developing muscles. Wishing her whisper danced in my ear. Hands roamed my physical after I came out the shower. Deodorant, olive oil, and a gentle spray of cologne clothes me. Left hand wipes sweat from brow. It is tossed aside with condescending wave. Begin to accept boxers, then khakis, but she makes herself visible and does not allow that. Growing to maturity steadily is obelisk from her touch. Kisses on my neck as if she had plotted, planning them. Meticulously moving from right to left shoulder, carving her name on me with her lips. Her whisper whispers without whispering that I belong to her. My apologies. It is hard to type when being fondled. Consonants where vowels should be, vowels replacing consonants. Descending from Transylvania, she must be. Biting but gentle bite leave marks in this man's dark skin. I'm no longer trying to type. But she has taken me away from my poem after I left the shower. My poem. Thank you.
If you could see our studio audience, they're giving you a standing ovation. Man, if you didn't make some converts there, I don't know what you can do, my friend. That is outstanding, outstanding stuff. Folks, we've just got a couple minutes, and we have to get out of the way. The CBS News is raging toward us in the next 4 minutes. JPA, it's been a pleasure having you on the broadcast. Let's tell everybody right now where they can get your materials and how they can go about that.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me again. You can go to www.iblowyourmind.com. It has secure PayPal. You want to find me on Facebook, G, capital G period, P period, A period, parentheses, greatest poet alive, and then I can give you all the Twitter information. I want to thank Artist First Radio for having me on. It's been a privilege and an honor. Thank y'all so much. Everybody out there listening, my family, my friends, supporters, Team GPA, love y'all. Thank y'all so much. Thank y'all. Everybody have a blessed and pleasant evening. Thank you.
GPA, thank you very much for being with us. I know for a fact. That GPA is going to be back with us maybe sooner than you think, folks. This has been Z-Man sitting in for the vacationing Tony K on another edition of Authors First on the Artist First Radio Network. Hey, guys, get out there. Support the fine artists that come through these microphones. And you know what? You guys have been doing that so well all these years. We humbly thank you on behalf of all the artists that come through here. They need your help. How about picking up a book, making a donation, supporting the fine artist, and especially GPA tonight? You kick ass, my man.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I appreciate you.
I am impressed. I'm very impressed. You've done an excellent job. And, folks, stick with us. CBS News comes our way in about 2.5 minutes. After that, there's a second Authors First broadcast tonight. Stick and stay, don't go away. We got a whole slate of live shows tonight. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. And you take care, GPA. Look forward to talking to you real soon.
Thank you. Yep, have a good night.